The Blaze Radio Network. On demand.
Individuals and businesses with tax problems, listen carefully. If you owe over $10,000 in back taxes or have unfiled tax returns, we can help you take back control. The IRS is the largest and most aggressive collection agency in the world, and they can seize your bank account, garnish your paycheck, close your business, and file criminal charges. Take control of your tax problems now by calling the experts at Tax Mediation Services
at 800-600-8192. That's 800-600-8192. 800-600-8192.
I guess we got something stupid coming up here to end the show.
Is that true? I actually think it's the opposite.
Ridiculous.
From the wonderful world of Stu, which is why he's saying this. However, it's a real problem. It's a book about what's going on in our colleges right now, and details of some of these stories will absolutely fascinate you.
Is this the final show?
We interrupt this program to bring you.
Detroit, Alcatraz, Azkaban. These terrifying places have nothing on your college campus. An incredible one out of every five women will be sexually assaulted at college. At least that's what the horrific statistic you've heard over and 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 over again from the media will say. Here to tell us why this talking point is junk and so much more is author of this great book, The Campus Rape Frenzy, The Attack on Due Process at America's Universities, Stuart Taylor. Stuart, welcome to the program.
Thanks very much for having me on.
This book is incredible, and it highlights some of the most obvious and offensive miscarriages of factual information maybe I've ever seen. You talk about the one in five statistic. Can you kind of walk people through why this is misleading and where did it come from?
It's actually a fraudulent statistic, I would say. The best statistics by the Federal Government Bureau of Justice Statistics would say maybe 1 in 100 women who go to college is raped while there, and maybe another 2 in 100 are subjected to lesser sexual assaults. So that's maybe 1 in 40 total. Where did 1 in 5 come from? People with agendas, including the Centers for Disease Control, the Washington Post, the Association of American Universities, no less, have done surveys that are purposely rigged for the purpose of wildly overstating the number of rapes and sexual assaults. One way they do it is they never ask the women, were you raped or were you sexually assaulted? Because they know the vast majority will say no, and that's not the answer they want. So they'll ask questions such as, have you ever had sex when you were drunk? And if the answer is yes, they check the rape box. Have you ever been kissed when you didn't want to be kissed? And if the answer is yes, they check the sexual assault box. And there are other gimmicks, but those are the most blatant ones.
I could say that you should go pick up this book, if nothing else, for page 49. Page 49 right here walks you through every step of this statistic in this study. And in fact, it ends, if I may quote the book, with the actual lead author of the study who says, we don't think that the 1 in 5 is a nationally representative statistic. Even they are saying this isn't real. And you go through this whole thing and it's incredible. I mean, it really is amazing. And we get this kind of picture of college campuses as, I mean, these horrific places, but is rape at universities even increasing right now, or is it decreasing?
It's impossible to know, if you only look back a year or two, but if you look back, for example, to 1997, because the statistics take a while to ripen, then 1997 and 2013, the same Justice Department studies that I mentioned show that the rape rate in campuses plunged by more than half. There were half as many rapes in 2013, at least according to these surveys, on campuses as there were in 1997. So certainly the trend for a while has been the rate's been going down. Now, I don't know exactly what it's done since 2000. since 2013 because there haven't been good studies. It's possible that it's gone up a little bit since then in terms of reports because there's been such a huge machinery at work to try and jump it up as far as they possibly can.
I guess, you know, what you're referring to here is the media focus and really national focus on this term rape culture, that it's not just a terrible person or a bad apple here and there, one in 100, one in 1,000. It is this culture where it's just okay. Guys at college are doing this all the time because it's the culture of the place and nobody cares. Where did this term rape culture come from, and is there anything to it?
It was concocted by extreme feminists back in the 80s or so, I think. I can't name any one person who originated, but they started using it for the same, idea you just described, as in all these guys are sexual predators. That's the norm. They're encouraged by their frat brothers and their teammates. Now, that's nonsense, but what's even more nonsense is part of the rape culture narrative they've been selling is that the universities themselves are indifferent to victims of real rapes and are trying to cover them up. And that is just a complete inversion of reality. For quite a few years now, the universities, for various reasons, including pressure from the Obama administration, which is threatening to take their money away if they don't do what it wants, they've been grotesquely, pervasively discriminated against accused males and in favor of accusers, whether or not the evidence suggests they're really victims or something else.
That's fascinating. Okay, so let's go into some of the ways that they're handling these cases. They seem, the pitch seems to be right now that women who might be sexually assaulted or raped, God forbid, should not necessarily go to the police and report it. They should go to the dean or some college court to litigate these things. Can you explain why they do this, and is it at all effective?
No, it's a very bad way to stop real rapists, and there are some real rapists. There's a serious rape problem on campus, off campus, always has been, but there isn't this crisis we're talking about. But one thing that makes the serious rape problem we have worse is that the universities and the Obama administration, when it was here, affirmatively discourage women from going to police. They don't tell them you can't, but the message they say is the police will be mean to you. They'll make, they won't believe you. You'll be cross-examined. They'll ask you hard questions. And therefore, why don't you come to us? Because we know whoever you're accusing is guilty. We'll presume him guilty. We'll train the people who are going to decide his case that women tell the truth and that accused men lie. And so that's the system. Now, why do they do this? Back in the 70s, when I was covering police districts for the Baltimore Sun, for example, it was true that a lot of cops did not really take rape seriously. And there were real victims who were kind of dissed and who were given a hard time and disbelieved. That's not really true anymore, from what I can tell. From what I can tell, the police are being as humane as they can, and the prosecutors are, when women come to them with rape complaints. But what they're not doing, which is what the universities are doing and what the activists want done, is just saying, okay, so the accuser's telling the truth and the accused guy is guilty, and let's not waste a whole lot of time on evidence.
I mean, that's, obviously everyone, I think Hillary Clinton said during the campaign, every woman deserves to be believed. And I think the real truth
until somebody said, what about Bill?
Yeah, very good point. But I mean, we all agree that every woman deserves to be taken seriously and treated with care in a situation like this. But, men have rights too in these situations. And if these things, if you go through a college court system, what happens if you convict? They get expelled and they get to go rape somebody else. If it is a real rapist, you need them off the streets. And I don't understand how this approach helps anybody. If anything, it creates more victims.
It does. They don't get them off the streets and channeling them away from law enforcement and towards these campus kangaroo courts makes places less safer, in part for that reason. Also in part because over time, nobody's going to believe the campus kangaroo courts because they're so incredible and implausible. So a guy who's found guilty by the campus kangaroo courts, some of them are probably guilty, many of them are not, but there's going to be a general attitude of why should we believe them because they're phonying up so many cases. That's bad for real victims of rape. And so who benefits? Who benefits? Extreme feminists benefit because they get their ideological charge, and thousands of sex bureaucrats that are now employed by the colleges who hired them in many cases on the insistence of the Obama administration that they sort of staff up with sex bureaucrats so that they can police all the rules the Obama administration was declaring that they must follow. These people depend on this kangaroo court system for their livelihoods. They have an incentive to manufacture as many phony rapes as they can.